This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There were seven races for Michigan House in 2016 where more than $1 million was spent trying to elect candidates. Three of those were in Southwest Michigan. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network has analyzed the spending in last year's state house campaigns. Greg Mauger is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, and he joins us from Lansing. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you explain, first of all, when you talk about the most expensive, what are the things that you're looking at that add up and get these totals?
Yeah, so what we look at are basically three buckets of spending. One, spending and fundraising, that is. One bucket is what the candidates' campaigns raise and spend. So the candidate for the race, you know, pays for TV ads, touting his or her own campaign. That would fall in that bucket. Another bucket is independent spending reported to the state. So these are groups that don't give money directly to the candidates, but instead spend the money independently of the candidates on TV ads, mailers, canvassing door to door. That's the second bucket. The third bucket, and which is a bucket that's growing larger and larger cycle by cycle, is spending that is not reported to the state as a campaign finance expense, but is instead spending that is primarily done on TV ads by groups that aren't telling you directly how to vote, but are telling you this candidate's great or this candidate's bad, and they're doing it through TV ads. And the only way we have to track that spending is by going to the TV station's disclosures that they make to the federal government and tracking how many TV purchases these groups have made.
So your headline on your press release says that 2016 Michigan House races are the most expensive on record. By how much? How much did they beat the previous record by?
Yeah, so we've been tracking this for many cycles. Our organization's been around for 20 years, and what we've seen is just an increased cycle over cycle in spending in the state house campaigns. 2016 cycle, we tracked $27 million in total spending across all the races, general and primary, for the 110 seats. The previous high was 2 years ago in 2014, where we tracked $25.4 million. So, I mean, that's an increase of $1.6 million. That's a pretty significant number. When you go back a few more cycles, you can see how large the increase has been over time. In 2010, we tracked just $20.5 million. So in 6 years, it's gone from $20.5 million to $27 million, a $6.5 million increase.
Can some of the increase between 2014 and 2016 be explained by the fact that there was no race for governor on the ballot in Michigan last year, no race for U.S. Senate, the state Senate is not up again until 2018, so therefore there's a lot of money out there and it has to find somewhere to go?
It could be explained by that. I think that could be part of it. But still, if you compare 2016 over 2012, which is a similar cycle where the spending focuses on the state house campaigns, in 2012, the total was $24.3 million. So 2016 is up significantly over that. I mean, it will be interesting to see what happens in 2018, where there are going to be competitive races up and down the ballot, to see what that impact will be on the state house races. But what you said is definitely a factor.
So let's look at these three races in Southwest Michigan where $1 million or more was spent. And we'll begin with the 61st District. That includes the city of Portage and was the second most expensive state house race last year. Republican Brant Eyden won re-election by defeating Democrat John Fisher. Now, a lot of the money for Fisher went to TV issue advertising, and then the money spent for Eyden was reported on independent expenditures. So are these kind of two different strategies, really, then, for how these candidates were putting their resources to work, or where people were putting the resources to work for them?
From race to race and district to district, the numbers show up differently. In some of the races, the spending is primarily done by the state parties on TV ads that fall outside of the traditional campaign finance disclosure requirements. So that's the issue at TV spending that we track. In some races, the spending is primarily done by the caucuses themselves, the House Republicans or the House Democrats, and that would fall in the realm of a direct contribution to the candidate or an in-kind contribution to the candidate. But what you can see in the 61st is the Republican forces spent very heavily to try to protect Brant Eyden. Across all of the candidates, I believe Eyden received the most support of all Republican candidates, of anyone, and he's an incumbent that they were trying to protect, and they knew that race was going to be close, and it ended up being somewhat close. So, I mean, their polling was probably right.
The 66th District includes Van Buren County and also part of Kalamazoo County. Democrat Annie Brown lost, despite the fact that actually more money was spent on her campaign. How rare is it that the candidate who raises and spends the most money ends up not winning?
Yeah, two factors on that. Usually, the candidate who spends the most money or has the most money on his or her side wins. I think we tracked this past cycle 91% of the time the candidate with the most money won. There are some exceptions, and usually those exceptions are in these competitive races where the party out of power is trying to unseat the party that's in power. The Republicans have controlled this seat for a long, long time. It's a Republican seat, so I think Democrats realized if they are going to flip the seat, they needed to spend a lot of money, and they did indeed spend a lot of money trying to flip the seat, and they were once again unsuccessful.
The 62nd District includes Battle Creek, and this saw one of the closest races in the state by the time it was all said and done. Republican John Bison won re-election by defeating Democrat Jim Hodzma. And in this case, Hodzma spent just a little bit less than Bison did. So this is one of those that falls in the mean. But I guess the question may be one of second guessing the Democrats here about where they put their resources, given that this was a seat the Democrats held the 6 years before Bison won it.
Yeah, I think this is a seat that Democrats believed they were going to win, and I think this is a seat the Republicans thought they were probably going to lose, and it ended up that they narrowly held it. Both sides spent about the same amount of money on this seat. I mean, I thought it was interesting how close the total was. I think it was like a few thousand dollars off, if I'm remembering correctly. Both sides spent very similar amounts, and the result was very close. I mean, this is a 50-50 seat. This is a seat that's going to continually show up in these rankings as we go forward here for years to come.
What do we know about who contributed, who was spending a lot of money on these state house races?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the traditional groups that we see cycle over cycle. I was just working on a piece today kind of about that. And on the Republican side, there was a lot of business executives' families that tended to be the largest givers. The DeVos family was the largest family unit in terms of giving to the House Republican Campaign Committee, the main campaign arm of the House Republicans by far. The House Republicans benefited heavily from DeVos family giving. Some PACs that the DeVos family funds heavily also played a large role in these elections. But there are other groups as well. Blue Cross Blue Shield gave a lot of money to the House Republicans this cycle. On the Democratic side, the big funders were the traditional Democratic funders, the labor groups, the Michigan Education Association, the Michigan Association for Justice, the United Auto Workers, and the MEA being the labor groups. Those are the three largest funders on the Democratic side.
What is hard to find or maybe impossible to find when you're putting together a report like this in terms of who is contributing? What are the things that still remain secret out there, even several months after the election's been conducted?
Yeah, I mean, it took us a month to put this together, how much this total price tag of the House races. It took a long time to put this together, and we had to pour through thousands of pages of disclosures made to the federal government by TV stations on the ad time that they sold these campaigns. What remains unknown and what will always be unknown is who funded millions of dollars in dark money mailers, dark money TV ads that tried to influence these races. The Michigan Republican Party, the Michigan Democratic Party, each spent about $1 million on TV ads where it doesn't appear clear that we know where the money came from. So that's $1 million of influence from each party that could have come from one person, could have come from a few select groups that are also trying to influence public policy. We have no idea where that money came from. And then when you look at the mailers, when you look at the robocalls that people get, there's no effective way to track those. If a mailer tells you that a candidate is the worst and for all these reasons this person is bad, or this candidate is great for all these reasons this person is great, the donors behind them don't have to be disclosed. Disclosure in Michigan is based around the advertisement or communication telling you expressly how to vote. Vote for this person, vote against this person, support this person, oppose this person. Those are the magic words that mean the donors have to be disclosed. If the communication doesn't say that directly, there's a likelihood that the donors don't have to be disclosed to the state.
Craig Monger, as always, thank you for your time.
Gordon, thank you so much.
Craig Monger is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. He joined us from Lansing. Longer version of the interview and links to the Michigan Campaign Finance Network's data on 2016 state House races can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.